everybody. Welcome to Hot Topics, School Friends.
Today on our episode, we have Nick Ide. It's kind of really cool how we met him. He came into our store and you guys can't see us, so it's really awful, but
is it though?
His entire family is amazing looking. Like, they looked like all of them, his wife, him, and his two children walk in the store and we're like, wow, who are these people? Uh-huh. And then I think he was speaking Italian. And anyway, it went on from there. But
his daughter, Marianne, takes voice lessons from my daughter. And we became friends. But then we actually realized what Nick did for a living and several different things. And it was just so interesting. So, Nick, welcome. We're going to have you talk a little bit about what you do and your company. And I have to say, though, that Wendy sent me a list of questions last night. Now listen, you guys know that we're off the cuff and we never have anything planned out or written down or anything. Well, so I said, what is this about? And Wendy goes, I want to know all the things. I'm like, okay, so shoot. So there you go.
I'm on the edge of my seat right now because I have not seen these questions. So
they're not, trust us, we're not. First of all, this is a clean rating, so we'll save some others maybe for another time. But we got to back it up just real quick because when we were at that vendor event is when
we realized we're doing the
boutique vendor event, and Nick and his family pop in, and we're like, why are you here? And he's like, well, I own the building. And we're like, oh, okay.
Of course you do.
This is a beautiful building. And then, we're just like, oh, it's, it's Nick. And anyway, so that's when my research started. And, let's start with the Italian bowl because stop it. This is impressive stuff.
It's extremely impressive.
So my experience with the Italian bowl is my son owns Wildside Brewing Company. And we were on the roof when the teams were across. And I was like, this is the best night ever. Big, big deal for Toledo.
Yeah, it was very exciting for me personally, too, because, and I know we'll get into a little bit of my history, but I was fortunate enough to, I'm not Italian, but I lived in Italy for a number of years, fell in love with the country, met my wife there, and then came back to the States and settled into what's now my professional career. But to be able to have the Italian Bowl here to host the first international sporting championship to be played outside of its own country and have it here at the Glass Bowl in Toledo was amazing for me personally because I played in that league. But then it was also amazing from the standpoint of, what it meant to the community and how everybody got involved from the community. I mean, getting guys like John Grisham to come here for the weekend, and it was his first time in Toledo, have an amazing time. He wrote the book Playing for Pizza about the Italian Bowl. Calvin Johnson, who is a Hall of Famer with the NFL, to be here, to be involved with these Italian guys, I always tell the story, it's American football. These guys all work day jobs. They work as doctors, they work as surgeons, lawyers, laborers, from all walks of life, and they use American football as their passion, as their outlet. And to have them, share that passion with us and bring that experience here was a beautiful thing. And the community, Toledo itself, really embraced it, which it was special for me, and special to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what inspired you to bring the Italian Bowl? How did it all start?
So it all started, I used to go back and forth to Italy every year to do some color commentary work in Italian with the Italian Bowl. The director of the Italian Bowl from, I think, 2011 to 2016 was a gentleman named Raffaello Pellegrini. Raffaello is from the city of Ferrara, and he owns the American football team in Ferrara. And so, we developed a friendship, and he came to visit me here in Toledo one time, had a great time. He's a big golfer. His son is a national team golfer in Italy. And so he had the chance to play at Inverness and then have a tour of the University of Toledo. And so when he left his tour of the University of Toledo and the Glass Bowl, he grabbed me and said, Nick, what if we did a destination Italian Bowl and played it here in Toledo? And from that point on, it kind of generated this idea of, wow, no national championship has been played outside of its own country, and we get to kind of, break the mold a little bit and do that. So that's where it started. And then we also created a sister city relationship between the city of Ferrara and the city of Toledo, our first Italian sister city. And then a Ryder Cup style golf tournament came out of that as well. The first edition of that was just played in October in Ferrara, and then the next edition will now be played in June here in Toledo. So.
Really? All right. Didn't know that. That's June so cool. What?
June 26th and 7th or 27th, 26th and 27th.
Okay, that weekend.
And then the Italian Bowl is coming back and will be played on that Saturday, the June 28th, 2025.
That is going to be a fun weekend. All right, we're putting that on our calendars. So what obstacles did you come across? Okay, top three.
First, COVID. Right? Yeah. Because we were originally going to do this before COVID, then COVID hit. And it paused everything. Like, you know, can you believe it's 5 years ago? It doesn't seem like
it's five years ago.
So that was the big first one. The next one was working with the NCAA because this is so out of the realm of what is normal. These, you know, all these Italians that play this game for a passion to play it on a campus and to get a waiver to do that so that it's not, quote unquote, a recruiting activity, which of course it's not. But that sort of stuff had to be finalized. That took a while. And then just, you know, anytime it's a first time event, I mean, there are just things you have to navigate and figure out and make sure. Oh, this was the big one. If you recall, in 2023, that's when all the traffic started to come back to flying and air traffic controllers weren't staffed and there were storms. Well, I think they were hit with three big storms in New Jersey. And the majority of our flights were routed through Newark.
Sure.
And so all the flights were canceled like the night before they were supposed to get in. They were canceled not from starting in Italy, but going from Newark to Detroit. And so we had to organize buses for about 80 players and coaches from Newark because everybody was having the same issues. I think it was a record for most flights canceled. Mm. And they said, "Yeah, we can get your guys in July 2nd. Well, the game's July 1st.
Oh my
so that's not going to work. They can't just sit in Newark from the 28th until July 2nd. So that worked out, but it wasn't a lot of sleep in those days, and we got it done. But
how did anybody specific come to mind that stepped up in our area that you want to give a shout out? Probably too many people, huh?
A huge list. Yeah. I mean, so many people stepped up from the sponsor side of things Pat Giammarco from Marco's Pizza was the first one to really step up and say, I'm involved in this. Then obviously the Buckeye, BCSN, Alan Block, and Jeff Shook were huge and saying, wow, this is a cool event. We're in. Mm-hmm. We want to be a part of this. And then just the amount of volunteers, can't say how many people step up and said, you know, mm-hmm. have some roots in Italy, want to be involved in this. And then after that, said, we want to see it come back. So
that's mm-hmm. awesome. They want it back. That's always a good sign.
It is.
Yes.
And we have a couple, there'll be one really kind of exciting announcement that we'll make in mid-January, which would add something really unique to the whole experience. And so we're finalizing that, and it would... That'd be kind of fun to...
It's a secret.
It's a secret. Maybe maybe on our second show, he can come back and tell us.
Happy to do it.
Awesome. So one of the other things when I was going through, I think I found this on LinkedIn about you, you're an actor. Is this, tell us about how this all started.
So I'm the youngest of six kids. And so we kind of grew up, sports was kind of secondary in the beginning. And we just... I can't sing like my daughter Marion
his daughter has an incredible voice.
Wife too. Like, yeah,
they both?
Yeah. Oh, does she? I haven't.
No, she keeps it kind of under wraps. Uh-huh. But
well, that's where Marion gets it from then.
Yes, because she didn't get it from me. I wish, but we grew up in dance and in theater, and so that was a big part of my life. Kept it up in college, and then every now and then I would get different. Still have an agent out of the Detroit area, get mm-hmm. auditions for different things, and done some independent films, some voiceover stuff, and then had a guest star in Chicago Fire, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun filming that in Chicago with, I can't remember the name of it, Joe Chappelle was the director who's...
I think that's when I looked up his name mm-hmm. after, and didn't I call you about that?
That's not the same guy.
It can't be the same one,
if
it
is.
And then you were in another movie called Funeral something?
The Funeral Guest, yeah. Funeral,
which I haven't watched yet because I didn't want to be like all giddy or something, like you're a superstar. I'm just kidding.
Well, and I'm not, but I will say.
But you know,
say,
when you see someone on screen, you know, yeah, and then you see them and you're like, oh my gosh.
You know, but the whole, what is it, 6 degrees of separation type things. Mm-hmm. There's a guy in that movie, and I knew, and he was awesome. I mean, he steals the show in that movie. And this was, gosh, 11, 12 years ago now. Since then, he has blown up, and he is one of the biggest. Now I see him on commercials all the time, but he's, I don't remember the name of the show he's on. His name's Jonathan Rumi. And he's one of the biggest stars now on this television show. And you'll see him. He's on ads now. He and Mark Wahlberg are related to a praying app. Or I can't remember.
Okay. I'll have to
exactly
we'll search him out.
But now is there a series, I think it's called Chosen or something like that, where mm-hmm. he's the main guy. And he had a very smaller role, but he was just awesome. He really mm-hmm. steals the show. And then it's kind of fun to see folks like that go on and, mm-hmm. and achieve some big things mm-hmm. and to have been a part of a.
So was this sort of like your B gig, you know, just kind of, how did you transition from that to real estate, or were you doing both at the same time?
Both at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it was just when there were times and opportunities to come up and audition for things. Nowadays it's really easy. So you just self-tape an audition, mm-hmm. send it, and you'll know within, you know, 24 hours if you've been selected for a callback or if you get the part.
And I did, you know, I have the Casting Network app, so I'm always searching, but I'm like, I'm too old.
Oh my God.
Too old.
We actually did one, remember?
Yeah.
You did a self-tape and said
I'm always recording.
We record. I'm always like, let's give it a shot, but yeah, I don't know.
It's fun.
It is fun. You know what? Quick story. I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee years ago, old one, 1955. No, 85. And we sold it on Craigslist. I get a call. A guy shows up in a beautiful, huge flatbed trailer. I like to buy your Jeep. I'm a producer. 90% of our movies are made in the Chicago area. He was called the transportation secretary or producer for this film. I'm like, oh, he's like, yeah, I want to buy it. And I got to go down the street in Hudson, Michigan. There's another one. We're going to use yours to drive the actors in the movie. We're going to blow up the other one and use another one for parts. My son Cash is standing next to me, and he's like, you're going to sell the Jeep? I'm like, yeah. Anyway, he goes, I'll call you in an hour. Comes back an hour later, calls me an hour later and says, your son kind of made me feel bad about this. How about I just rent it? I'm like, okay, thanks a lot, Cash. You just lost us some money. I didn't say it. He goes, no, I'll just rent it for what I was going to pay you for it. Long story short, Harold and Kumar's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's, you know, it's not the best movie. But
who cares? Your car is in it.
The car was in it, and they took it to New York. It had a good ride, and it was fun.
So it's always fun to
do. There's a lot of movies in our area. Detroit, Chicago, tons.
Yeah.
Because they get a tax break, is what he told me. There's a lot better of a tax break, yeah.
They do, and Chicago really has a significant production scene for a lot mm-hmm. of movies, and you know, people like the Windy City,
Chicago's
the architecture.
So fun. I love Chicago.
No, but yeah, that stuff's fun. My cousin's an actress, and I remember the first time we went to the movie, like she made it on the big screen. She's in God's Not Dead. And I'm talking to her mom, and I'm on the way there, and you know, I'm all giddy and all excited, but I don't know if you guys have seen the movie, but it's very like...
What's it called?
God's Not Dead.
Okay.
And it's very touching and very like deep, mm-hmm. right? And you, mm-hmm. you get out and you're like, wow.
Drained.
Like, you know, yeah. Oh my gosh. But it was just surreal just to see her on the big screen. And mm-hmm. her mom went, and this is what was funny. And in the movie, she's with Duck Dynasty guys, say, who is that lady anyway? And her mom yells out from the back of the theater, that's my daughter. And she, so everyone was like, you know, is that really your daughter? You know, kind of thing. So it is fun to see people, you know, in that environment that you know. It's fun. A lot of fun.
So real estate's just in the family, not just, but it's your father?
Goes back a long way. My father, my uncle, and goes back all the way to the mid-50s. And actually before that, goes back to my grandmother, who really... probably gets the credit for starting our family in that direction. This was back in the 50s. The story goes that, you know, my uncle and my father were working different jobs at the time and working quite a bit. And my grandmother had purchased a piece of property to build what was going to be a home for herself. They saved up their money. My grandfather had passed. And then within a couple months of her buying that property, she was approached because it was a desirable piece of land by someone in the commercial world. She was going to use it for residential means, but somebody offered her and then paid her more than double what she had. And so my father and my uncle said, "Boy, this is a pretty good business. Should we
buy more things?
Should we try to do this again and again?" And then they got into the buying the land, building houses, then going from that to multifamily, mainly up in the Lansing area, and then moving into commercial and retail. And then I got started when I came back initially, retired from playing football in Italy in 2006. I went back again, played one more season in 2009. Mm-hmm. But at the end of 2006 started, and at that point, we were owning and managing about 5 million square feet of real estate, mainly up in Michigan with one property manager and facility managers here, but not a lot of activity on what we were doing down here. And it worked out well timing-wise. I saw an opportunity to add some value and really started to like Toledo. The more I came to Toledo, liked it, enjoyed being here, and the rest is just kind of history. I was at one point coming down 3 days a week, and then a guy in 2019 said, "Hey, let's move down there," because she liked the area, she liked being here, and that's kind of led to where we are today and mm-hmm. working on the different projects, and we're moving further into Ohio, further south into other communities.
I saw that. What was your first big project here?
In Ohio?
Mm-hmm. In the Toledo area?
Yeah. The first big project was the renovation of the former fiberglass tower, former world headquarters for Owens Corning, into the tower on the Maumee. That was really it. I had done a similar project up in Lansing called the Knapp Center renovation, but that was a five-story former department store, and then this was 30-story building mm-hmm. that had been a single-use building, and really we like to think we were kind of ahead of the time before COVID, and the idea of, okay, you've got some of these urban centers where folks want to live, where there's more to do. You can go see the theater, Valentine Theater. You can go to the ball game, watch the Walleye or the Mud Hens. There's a lot to do, a lot of good. The food scene's really good downtown. What's missing? More residential opportunities, and this idea of taking a building that is a mid-century, office building and turning it into multifamily apartments is now post-COVID. Everybody's saying, how do we do this? How do we do this? And we think we were kind of ahead of that game a little bit with starting that in, 2010, 11-ish, when we first started the first iterations of that.
How long did that project take? Is it still going on?
Took a while. Mm-hmm. It's still going. Yeah. Pushing into hopefully another phase of adding 91 more units, but that first phase of getting everything kind of started with 106 residential units in the top of the tower and another, 80,000 square feet of office and 20,000 square feet of retail. It took from the point where we came up with a plan, applied for state historic credits, federal historic credits, to breaking ground and then finishing. It was a 6-year process.
Sounds like that's pretty good, actually.
It's probably
long to you, but I don't know right. why. It feels like that would be not
like
bad.
A 20-year
My gosh, it took them like a year to do my plumbing. I can't imagine.
Right, all that.
Yeah.
Might be time to change the plumber.
Maybe you're right. Or maybe it's my old house. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's just so amazing. So tell us what other projects you have in store.
And this ties into your guys' world a little bit on mm-hmm. the retail and the store side. But you mentioned Lampson Center, where we had, I think it was Chic. What's the name?
Yeah, well, Chic what? And
Cheap and Chic.
Mm-hmm. So that building, for those who are from the Toledo area, that Lampson department store was known as kind of like the quintessential old world department store. And on the outside of the building, especially spending so much time in Italy, that building is designed in what's called Palazzo Florentine architecture. There aren't many buildings like it in Ohio. And on the outside, you have all these insignias of different trades, mercantile trades, which are related to what the goal was for that department store. And so next time you pass it, you'll have to look up.
I'm going to look because we were so busy unloading clothes, I didn't look around. But the inside's beautiful. Beautiful.
Buildings like that are...
don't exist.
I don't think they just don't make things like that anymore.
Right.
They don't.
So we're really excited because we have an opportunity with a unique tenant that would bring something that maybe only a few places in the world have something like this to occupy that entire first floor, kind of where you guys mm-hmm. were during Cheap and Chic, and take another floor as well. Being it'd be a net new group to the state of Ohio and net new group to Toledo. So we're working actively on that, trying to bring that to fruition, and hopefully that will be something that comes forward in 2025. Beyond that, working on single family developments now too, because as we know, there's just not a lot of supply out there mm-hmm. for folks who want to buy single family homes. We're doing that in some different communities, and adding additional units to the tower as well. Kind of a different, always there ties back to Europe, but a different micro unit, mm-hmm. Which is anywhere from 500 square feet to at the highest 800 square feet. But the 500 square feet units, I mean, when I was living in Europe and I was playing football, I'd show up with two duffel bags and I would be living in 300 square feet and mm-hmm. just totally fine. It's how you design things, mm-hmm. how you make use of space and what's around you. And there are enough things now with, downtown Toledo where you can walk to so many different things. I didn't even mention the new Metro Park across the river where you have the
mm-hmm. The ribbon.
The ribbon.
I just love that place.
We do too.
Yeah.
It's just so welcoming, so warm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. And so we're looking forward to bringing a new product to the market as well.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So exciting.
So I have a question. Out of playing football in Italy, acting, real estate, those things, the Italian Bowl. If someone asked you, okay, Nick, you have to just pick one, what would it be?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I would not pick football now because the challenge, more you learn in life, I'm 45 now, the more you learn in life, it's like what you learned and what you gained from these experiences and then whatever happens to you after this life, then hopefully you're not taking any material things with them, but maybe you're taking some, form of that experience with you. But I learned so much from football. I climbed the mountains that I could climb with that. I think I did the best that I could with the abilities that I had. So I feel like I've run that course, and I don't, I have wonderful memories, but I don't have regrets, and I don't have
any resentment,
any regrets, or
missing anything. Mm-hmm. Acting, I was saying, I feel the same way. If there are opportunities to do more of that, I would do it, but I don't miss anything in that world. I do feel like in the real estate world, and then also with the different involvement in football, things like the Italian Bowl and being more involved with that Italian league, there's still some, undiscovered country to mm-hmm. throw in a Star Trek
right?
But line there. But I think those are the things that just now where I am in my life, I think those are the areas that I'm most interested in, want to keep, pushing the envelope and climbing that mountain. So.
And seeing that before and after of what you've created is huge, right? I feel like it would be.
It is. And, I firm believer in, if you're adding value to things, people appreciate value, especially mm-hmm. now. We take a lot of pride in that, trying to, with our buildings, with our care of our customers, our tenants and things like that, spend the time and do it, and do it right, and make it a good experience for everybody. And that, and we continue to improve on that and continue to kind of embrace that journey and the challenge of growing our business that way.
Do you have any advice to give to, let's see. Would you have any advice to give to actors, football players, or, real estate?
I maybe would have given it to myself way back when.
Looking back, if you had advice to give to yourself, that's a good idea.
My favorite quote, as it relates to any, I think it applies to any discipline, it's continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking your potential, right? And that's something that was Winston Churchill's mantra through the Second World War when they were down and out and things were not looking good. But continuous effort, even when, things don't look like they're going to go your way, what can you control? You just, your effort and your perspective and your optimism, those are the things you can bring regardless of outcome. And so that would be the advice I would give to any, and it's the advice I keep giving to myself. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Sports have a lot of help with things, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, they really do.
They do, because it's pretty cut and dry where you end up with sports. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Nick, tell us a little bit about your family.
So there are four of us. There's Gaia, my wife, who's originally from Italy. came to the United States when she was 26, and then Marianne, who you know, who's the budding singer, and then George, our son. So they're 12 and 10, just full of life, full of joy, particularly George. His favorite spot, as you guys know, is I think one of his favorite things in life right now is the chewing gum cigar at the store. So every time we pass by, he's making his way directly to you guys.
He's a doll. Both your kids, your whole family, your wife, you guys are just, like we said in the very beginning, that, you know, who's this cute, adorable family?
And you're referring to all the ones with hair, right?
No, all of you.
Yeah. So are we going to ask him our... did you prep him? Did you tell him?
I didn't even mention
it. It's not, you know.
Did I? I don't know.
What I walk into here? I don't know. This is
it's not bad. Trust us. No.
So, Nick, well, first of all, wait, before I ask that.
Yeah, there's probably, I have 20 more questions. But
I know. Well, it's Nick Eyed, but the name of your companies is Guide.
Guide. Right. Development. Yeah.
So anyway, I'll go with the question. Why are you our cool friend? Because the podcast is Hot Topics.
Do we need a
cool
new question?
Friend. Cool friend.
We need to get
a
new one.
Cool, we need a cool. No. Let's change it right
no,
now.
No. We're going to make Nick the last one that we ask that question to. And then our next season.
I think Nick can change it for us.
We'll brainstorm on that. But I feel like it needs to go to the next level. But we still have to ask.
You still want my answer.
Yeah, because right? Everybody else is answering.
Nick's like,
I'm going to take a stab at answering and see what you guys. One of my other big sayings is beyond the Winston Churchill quote, no such thing as coincidence, right? So we came into your store that day. We're speaking Italian. My daughter's now taking voice lessons and enjoys that kind of. In fact, the last two songs she's written are like, you're 10
she's
years old.
Them.
She's writing.
Wow.
10 years old.
Like when I, actually, Nick got scolded a little bit because Marianne was not going to take a whole lot more lessons. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Did you not hear her song that she wrote? He's like, it's
like
fabulous.
That same day.
I go, you cannot stop her. You can lessen.
Continuous
coaching. But you have to. She's amazing. Like, it's raw talent.
And you don't
find that.
And again, so this goes with my answer, no such thing as coincidence, right? Because then yesterday, she doesn't know that I'm doing this podcast, so she and I listen to it together. But yesterday, I'm ready to start singing again after the first year. And she had, this is classic dad, right? She wanted some things that she was going to do or accomplish with it, and I don't remember what those are right now. It reminds me of, do you know that there's a comedian, Nate
Bergazzi.
Have you heard his thing about being a dad?
Yes, I listen to him all day long.
I played that for my wife. I'm like, this is so me, where he's like, the school calls him to pick up the daughter, and he's like, you're calling the dad, right? Like,
yes.
I feel like that right now because we just talked, and I knew she had some things she wanted to. We'll have to revisit.
Well,
that
it's funny. He's the best.
Because my daughter says yesterday, out of the blue. She says, I just really wish Marianne would have auditioned for Shrek because my daughter's the musical director at Savannah Arts. And she's like, I just can't believe it. I go, well, her dad, maybe he just wants her to play sports.
No, I want her. Now we're going to. I want her to audition because like that.
You could do both.
Yeah.
Yes. And for sure.
You should. You should.
But yeah.
And auditioning's the key, right? Because then it pushes you and pushes your limits.
Teaches a lot of life lessons.
You learn so much from both.
All the things.
Sides.
Yeah. Yes. So let him answer.
So why are we friends? That's because there's no such thing as coincidence. It's us coming in that day.
Mm-hmm. So will you come back in January to give us maybe your big announcement?
I hope to come back and give you two big announcements, I think would be a lot of fun. So.
Awesome.
If you guys have me back.
Well, of course we will. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, maybe we'll go on the road and go to one of his places next time. Go on the road with the show.
Love to have you.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer, and
Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.